Actually, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. We'll start there first. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. I want to speak this evening on the grace of hope. The grace of hope. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Through grace. You know, hope, we think about hope, and we think about trust. Hope has to do with the future to a certain degree. If you ever read the life of William Huntington, Brother Al Woodfoot talked much of William Huntington, read his Bank of Faith, The Kingdom of God, Taken by Prayer. He was a man like John Warburton, if you ever read his biography, who really depended upon God and had to put their hope in God for their daily necessities of life. Their children went to bed sometimes crying because they had no food. Now, these were men who learned by experience what it meant to put their hope and faith in God. And I'd like to encourage you, if you've never read their works, to read it. First, we're going to look at some scriptures about hope is in God. Where's your hope at this evening? Our hope should be in God, not in the United States of America, not in our riches, not in what we possess, but in God. In Psalms 43:5, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Haven't you ever asked yourself that question? I have. Where you feel down, but you don't know why you feel down. I think we all experience that. "And why art thou disquieted within me?" Hope in God. No matter what your condition, no matter what my condition, there's always hope in God. And so many times we forget that. We can look at the church situation and say, well, you know, it looks slim for the church and things seem to be going the wrong way. But yet, our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. "I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Another psalm is Psalm 78, verse 7. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." Now, he gives us two thoughts in this verse, the psalmist does, that they might set their hope in God, and that we remember what God's works have done in the past. Look at Mount Zion, of all the blessed saints He's brought through the doors of Mount Zion in the past. Some of them are in Knoxville, some of them in Mississippi, some of them are in Alabama, some of them in various places. But God, we need to remember His blessings upon Mount Zion. Our hope is in God. And we shouldn't forget His works of old. As Brother Matt was talking about traveling grace, we need to think about grace in the past, how God has brought us safely through so many places. Sandy was telling me this evening about when they went on their trip, how that they had it right at the bottom of the mountain. They had a blowout. Can you imagine if that would have happened going down the mountain? It could have been a disaster. So God was watching over them and protected them. And I'm grateful to hear that God's watch care, because we as a church were praying for them and their safety. And that's why we need to lift each other up in prayer, because we never know what we can face. So be much in prayer for Christina and Matt and the children as they travel this weekend, that God would watch over them and protect them. No, it's not a long ways, but it doesn't have to be a long ways. It can be around the block. So remember that. Hope in God. Also, hope is a gift of God. We just read that a few minutes ago. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope." A good hope. Through grace. Now, if it's from God, it's got to be good, because all good gifts come from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness ni shadow of turning. A good hope, an everlasting consolation. So it's the gift of God, hope, a good hope. And also, a hope comes from the Scriptures. Have you read the Scriptures today? Have we meditated in the Word of God? Satan wants to keep you from this book. As one author says, The Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. And that is true. Now, it can be the sin of laziness, which we all possess. It could be the sin of indifference. It could be the sin of putting it off to later. You know, we all have good intentions. I'm going to read the Scriptures later, but if you ever come to the point where it's 10:30 at night and you've got the Scriptures in your hand but you can't hold your eyes open, we've all been there, haven't we? But here's what the Word of God says in Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning. Beloved, the Scriptures were written for our learning. That we through patience... Boy, doesn't it take patience to make it today? And comfort... That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Where is your hope? Your hope is in the Scriptures. You have the promises of God. You have the commands of God. God promises to never leave you to forsake thee. There's where our hope is in. Our hope is in God. We need that today. We need to remind ourselves. We need to read the Word of God. Know the Scriptures. Know the promises of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When you feel like you're at the end of the rope, remember that promise. Put your hope in God, that God will strengthen you. And that verse where in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I quote this quite often, but it's a good verse to think about upon this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But you know, when temptations come to us so strong, we think, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And we feel like that at times. But such is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. There's God's promise. I will not put anything upon you that you cannot endure. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the strength to bear under that. I'll give you exodus. I'll give you the way out of the temptation. And sometimes it's very difficult. I know my sister, Wanda, has been through some very difficult times with this, with cancer. It's very testing of your faith. It's really trying of your soul. It really tests whether you really trust in God or not. Very difficult. And trials and tribulations sometimes are used of God to strengthen our hope and our faith in God. Our hope is secured by Christ's resurrection. His resurrection secures our hope. Peter brings this out in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. We don't have a dead hope. We have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. We have a lively hope, beloved, tonight. What is hope? It's a confident expectation of future good. It's confidence in who? In God. That God's going to do us good. We have a good hope, a lively hope, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hope is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now the God of all, a God of hope. Now the God of hope. That's a great, great thought, isn't it? God is a God of hope. You know, Paul, see, in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, let me look here for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to go along with that, verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Think about that. You say, no one cares about me. Yes. Brothers and sisters, God cares. Our Father cares. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God uses His blood-bought children, teaches them, He comforts them, that we may do what? Comfort others who go through what you're going through. So when you go through an experience that you can't explain, but you're being taught of God, you're learning, God is teaching you, somewhere down your journey, you're going to meet someone who's going to need that comfort and advice from you that God gave you. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where does peace come from? Where does joy come from? In believing. Believing God's Word. It is really joyous when you believe God's Word and God makes it a reality to your life. You're praying about something and God fulfills that in your life. It gives you joy and peace. That you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, we have hope for the future. We have hope for the present. And we have the blessing we look back on in the past of the hope. But the Holy Spirit abounds in us, and the power of the Holy Spirit, this hope abounds in us, superabounds in us through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We have hope because it's a gift of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to enjoy the hope. Did you know hope is a defense against Satan? You say, how is that possible? Well, let's read a verse. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. That means being spiritually alert. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, notice this, a helmet that goes over your head, the hope of salvation. Now, when you're fighting Satan, Satan comes to you. It's the truth that God gives you, that hope of the future blessings of God in keeping you from falling. That blessing of God that God says, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That strength that says, I can do all things through Christ. That's the hope of salvation that will give us strength against the devil. We need that hope. We need that confidence in God. The helmet, the hope of salvation. Salvation that had delivered us from the wrath to come, as Paul speaks in 1 Thessalonians. The salvation that washed our sins as far as the east is from the west, has removed our sins, never to be brought up against us anymore. So when Satan comes to tempt us, or Satan comes to accuse our conscience, we can say that's been removed, it's gone, it's cleansed forever. So it's a defense, the hope of salvation, the helmet, the hope of salvation. Hope is to be continual. You don't hope today and not hope tomorrow and hope the next day, but don't hope the next week. It's to be a continual process through our journey in life, our hope in God. Can you ever think of a time that we don't need to be exercising our hope and faith in God? There's never a time. The psalmist says in Psalm 71:14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. As we're continually hoping in God, and God is continually blessing us, what should we be doing? Praising Thee more and more and more. We should be praising the Lord. Lifting up His name. Exalting His name in the church. When we come together to sing the hymns and to praise God, it's because of the hope and the strength He's giving us during the week. It produces joy. Psalm 146:5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, in the Jehovah Lord, his God. I pray this evening that our hope is in God. Your hope is in God. We don't know what the future. Brother Matt's praying about his future situation with his job. What's the best thing that Matt can do is have his put his hope in God to lead him and guide him in his life, in his family. If he keep continually using his hope, continually putting his hope in God, he'll be able to yet praise the Lord more and more. And sometimes it's hard to face the unknown. All of us. None of us like change. I don't like change in my life. But life involves changes. Now, change involves us. How do we react to change? That the question. How do we react? One thing we should do, our hope should be in God who controls the future. We believe that Romans 8:28 is a reality to them that love God, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know God has a purpose for our life. We know God is watching us. He said He had never leave us nor forsake us. He told us to bring our petitions before Him. We bring our petitions before Him. Now we have to put our hope in God that He will guide us and direct us in what we do. Sometimes, beloved, you have to cast the burden on the Lord and just leave it there until He works it out. That takes faith, doesn't it? Yes, faith and hope go together. Hope removes the fear of death. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Hope. What's laid up in heaven? We have an inheritance. It's undefiled, it fadeth not away, it's uncorruptible. Whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Paul says in verse 27 of chapter 1 of Colossians, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles," which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Why is that so true? Because Paul brought it out this way in 1 Corinthians 15:20. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And when Jesus returns, He's coming for them that are what? That are His, to resurrect their bodies." So hope has to do with the future, with the coming of Jesus Christ, with His saints. We'll see that in a moment. Our hope is secure. Now, these verses here are very powerful verses. I either got a burden, Brother Roger or Brother Dave, to preach on these two verses. They're powerful. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie." See, that reminds me, when I read that verse, to go to this other verse I want to bring to your attention. Was on my mind earlier. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Who did He promise it to? Our surety. He promised to give all of the children of God to Christ, and upon His engagements to die for our sins and to redeem us and to buy us back out of bondage, He would give us eternal life, and He cannot lie. What a great, great thought. And going back to this verse, "that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge." You know, in the Old Testament, they fled. If you killed someone accidentally, you could go to a city of refuge and be protected. We can flee to the refuge. Who's our refuge? Jesus Christ is our refuge. You know, when those fears come in your soul of doubt, of unbelief, insecurity, fear, your emotions are just drained, you feel like crying, you feel like weeping, you just feel like you're falling apart, flee to your refuge, Jesus. You know, the Bible says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He's a sympathizing Jesus. He's touched with your feelings. He's touched with my feelings. How often do we forget that? Sometimes, you know, we can be cold toward each other. God forgive us for that. We need to be warm. We need to be concerned. We need to show love. We need to show compassion toward each other, forgiveness, kindness, love, long-suffering with each other, gentleness, looking the other way, looking beyond our faults, seeing the needs of each other. To lay hold upon the hope set before us. A hope set before us. What is that hope? We're going to get into that. Verse 19, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." It's an anchor. It holds your soul down. Both sure and steadfast, which endureth, which entereth into that which was within the veil. The other Christ is already there. He's our hope, and He's within the veil. And He's coming again to bring us where He is. That where I am, there you may be also. This brings us down to His coming. His coming. Hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. Ultimately, hope is in the future coming of Jesus Christ. Ultimately. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. Why is it called a blessed hope? Because when He comes, He redeems the body from the graveyard. He changes into a new creature. Bodily, soul, and spirit will be without sin. We'll be going up to meet the Lord in the air. There will be no more sorrow, no more tears. The former things are all passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new city, a new Jerusalem will be with God forever. That's our hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, we have a great hope. Yes, we have struggles in this world. Yes, there's many dark paths we go down. Yes, there's many thorny places we go through. Yes, sometimes we fall. Yes, God lifts us up. Yes, we fall. Yes, God lifts us up. Yes, sometimes you need a shoulder to cry on. God will give you a brother or sister to do that. God provides our needs through our loved ones in the kingdom of God. Blessed hope. Hope is purifying. John says in 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him, talking about the coming of Christ, His soon return, His revelation, purifieth himself, even as he impure. If you're looking for Jesus Christ to come and you're earnestly seeking the Lord daily, Lord, is this the day that you'll return? It will help purify your life. Do you want a motivation to purify yourself? Think upon the second coming of Christ. Let it become part of your soul. Let it become part of your day. This may be the day that the Lord returns. Pray for the Holy Spirit to make that a reality in your life, and it'll help purify your life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Will you love His appearing when He comes? You should, because He's your hope. He's your God. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our propitiation. He covers our sins. He's our Mediator. He's our Advocate with the Father. He's the Righteous One. He's our Righteousness. He's everything that we need. We are complete, Paul says in Colossians, we are complete in Him. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hope is important, beloved. And sometimes we don't think about it in that sense. Hope is described as abiding in Christ. How do we maintain this hope? By abiding in Christ. In 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before Him at His coming. Abiding refers to a permanent relationship to God. This is not a part-time something you start, that you spend a little time for God and then you spend time for yourself. We are to abide in a permanent relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To abide, to stay under His authority. You know, it says to get under His authority. Abide in Him. What should we be practicing daily? Abiding in the Lord. It says to walk in the Lord, to walk in the Spirit. To walk in truth. It all basically saying the same thing. We're to abide in fellowship with the Lord. How do you do that? By reading His Word on a daily basis. Secondly, as we read the Word, we should be praying. As we pray, what should we do? We should confess our sins. If we're going to stay in tune with God, we've got to be honest with God. The word confess means to agree. If we confess our sins, if we agree with God and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must agree, God, this is sin and I'm confessing it. I'm agreeing you're right and I'm wrong. Forgive me. That's how you abide in Christ. You abide in Christ. That's why you need a mediator. That's why you need a high priest over the house of God, because we're still sinners. And as long as we're sinners, and we have the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. He shed His blood. And as we abide in Christ, we are cleansed by His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is continually present tense, cleansing us from all sin. As we're abiding in Christ, we're confessing to Christ, we're living upon Christ, and our hope is still maintained and strong in God. John says in 1 John 2:27, which this verse could be a little difficult to understand unless you think about it, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now some people will go off the bandwagon and say, oh, so we don't need nobody to teach us. We don't need preachers. We don't need... No, that's not what the Lord is teaching there. Because in the book of Ephesians 4, it says He gives gifts unto the church, pastors and teachers, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. What does it mean then? What he means is that we don't need materialistic men who are not spiritual teaching the church of God humanism and wisdom of this world. We don't need that type of teaching. We need spiritual teachers, men filled with the Holy Ghost, men filled with God's Word, teaching you spiritual truths, wisdom from God's Word, taught by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and feeding the church of God, God's Word. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. You shall abide in Him. As you're being taught by your pastor, teachers from the pulpit, and as we're feeding you spiritual food, you will be abiding in Him. You will be abiding in the Lord. He says in 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence. What does He say in Matthew? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. My faithful servant. That should be our objective. You know, Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is that? To be faithful to the end. That should be our goal. To be faithful to the end. That we won't be ashamed before Him at His coming. Hope is realized in righteousness. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know, that Greek word know is ona, which means to know absolutely, that He is righteous. You know, genosko means to know by experience, that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. We know that we're children of God because we can see the righteousness of God working out in our lives. What is one of those evidences of righteousness? We know that we pass from death into life because we what? We love the brethren. We love each other. Love is a manifestation of righteousness. So righteousness is a key factor to hope. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. As obedient children. Hope is established by love. I know I'm taking a lot of thought this evening. He says in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What a thought. When you look at Calvary, when you look at Christ, when you look at the wrath of God poured out upon Christ, when He suffered for our sins, when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon His elect children. upon us. Oh, beloved, that should give you hope. That we should be called the sons of God or children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The wisdom of this world, they don't know anything about God. Hope will be fulfilled in Christ's likeness. This is our ultimate fulfilling, is hope in the likeness of Christ. But now are we the sons or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. How will Mark be? He'll be like Christ. How will Christina be? She'll be like Christ. How will we be? We'll be like Christ. That'll be wonderful. To be pure, holy, undefiled, separated from sinners, righteous like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, what a blessing. And isn't that what Paul prayed in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. That's our ultimate goal, to be like Christ. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. First Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to do all things unto Himself. And in closing, I'm just going to read you some thoughts and give you the verses, and you can look them up later. This is my conclusion to all of this. In the New Testament, the believer's hope is in Christ, 1 Timothy 1:11. It resides in God, Romans 15:13, 1 Peter 1:21. Who has elected a people, Philippians 1:20, Ephesians 1:18, and given them hope through the gospel, Colossians 1:23. Properly, this is not merely human anticipation of better days. Even salvation, in one sense, is hoped for, not yet realized, Romans 8:24 and 13:11, but of the final consummation of salvation and the resurrection of our bodies, Acts 23:6, Romans 8:18 25. And at the revelation of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:13, Christ indwelling through the Spirit becomes the Christian's hope of glory, Colossians 1:27 and 1 John 3:1 through 3. This hope is variously described. It is laid up in heaven, Colossians 1:5. It is a hope of eternal life, Titus 1:2. It is a living hope, 1 Peter 1:13. And it is a better than former hopes, Hebrews 7:19. And there's more I have, but I'll try to finish this real fast. In the New Testament, hope is associated with affliction and patience. And this is why we need hope, because we have afflictions. And we've been taught patience. Affliction is sure to come upon the faithful. It produces patience, Romans 5:3 through 5, and patience, hope. Such hope is an anchor for the soul, Hebrews 6:18. Hope in such context becomes virtually synonymous with trust in God. It's certainly lying beyond earthly doubt, Romans 5:5 with Romans 9:33. In view of their hope, Christians are to be pure, 1 John 3:3, and be ready to give their defense or answer, the reason for their hope, 1 Peter 3:15. While living soberly, upright, godly lives, they are to wait for the fulfillment of their blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, what a glorious doctrine hope is. May we pray. A gracious Father, may You bless these thoughts this evening to God's people. And Lord, we all go through trials and afflictions. And oh, that may we learn with the psalmist that our hope is in God. And all that may realize that our hope is within us, Christ, in You, the hope of glory. And we thank You for the trials and tribulations of life, Lord, that increases our strength, that we might comfort others who need comforting. Bless us now, Father, as we sing a closing hymn, and we give You the praise and the honor and the glory. And thank You for the hope of grace, the gift of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.